Is Jimmy Garoppolo's shoulder injury worse than the team is letting on? The full injury report for the 49ers as they get ready for their week of practice for those Green Bay Packers on Saturday. Kyle Shanahan talking about the struggle that made them this season. And, of course, the Locked On 49ers mailbag coming up right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you at BD Peacock at Eric_Crocker on this Wednesday episode. And it's Wednesday. You know what that means. A very special guest. Let's bring him on the program, Mr. Nick Winkler, on another Winky Wednesday.
Nicholas Winkler, come on, dude.
What's up, Wink? How was your level of last week? There was a listener that sent us his Fitbit or his Apple Watch, whatever it was, his heart rate during the Rams game, and I think probably most 49ers fans were in a nice space for most of the game until that interception. And I would love to see what the heart rates were. How were you feeling when there was the interception, then the fumble non reception with George Kittle?
Oh, I forgot about that play.
Sunday. That was rough.
It was like a moment of ups and downs there. How are you feeling watching that game against the Cowboys? And I know the Cowboys are one of those hated franchises for you, Wink. So what was that like before we move on to these Packers? It's Packers week now.
I mean, I think they're the number one hated. You know, you grow up as a Niner fan during those Dallas-San Francisco matchups, man. That was painful. There was just a lot of, like, head in hand, just like, no. Like, they're going to rip my heart out of my chest because it felt like, we got this. This is it. Yeah, keep pushing. Then the fumble, you know. First the interception, then the fumble. Then it's like the bad screen pass to Elijah Mitchell, and it's just like, oh, one thing after the next. Like, and then the fake punt, and it's just like, oh, God.
First half when they were dominating, they were getting those field goals and not getting touchdowns.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're just leaving the door cracked open, and I don't like that. And the interception happens. Like, oh, here we go. This is what happens.
I was more anxious in this Cowboy game for some reason. I mean, my chest was burning. I was so, like, on edge. You know, like the Rams game, for whatever reason, I don't know if it was because the 49ers were losing the whole time until they started to win.
Right.
You know, maybe it was a little different where I'm just like, gosh, like, you know, there was just like a man, like, we can't lose like this. And then it got tight. And obviously, you know, heart racing a little bit. And it's like, let's go. You see what happens. But with this game, it was just on edge because, you know, I'm looking at the score. I'm looking at the situation. I'm looking at the Cowboys before halftime. Like, you can't let them score before halftime because they get the ball back. And
right.
You know, it was only a 2-score game at that time. And, you know, just looking at
what the Niners did against the Rams the week.
Right. So that's what I was thinking about. And, you know, I'm always thinking about, like, situational football. That's just where my mind goes. And I don't know. There was something. And then it started getting tight. And I'm just like, dang, my back started cramping up. My feet started hurting. I don't know. I was like, gosh, am I about to have a heart attack? We can't lose to the Cowboys. Like, anybody but the Cowboys.
Well, and the fourth and one, two, like, that was like, I got it so excited because I'm like, he got it. I'm like, oh, no, Williams wasn't set. So they're like, there were so many roller coasters, man.
What are your thoughts on his decision to not, because we didn't really discuss this, but Kyle had a couple decisions. He decided a couple times to not go for it on fourth down. One was in the first half, and I think it kind of helped that he didn't take those, or that he didn't go for it, because if he say he didn't get that first down, that takes 3 points off the board. Yeah. Now the Cowboys can tie it with a field goal leg if everything plays out the exact same way.
Right.
But when I saw it, I'm like, oh, you got to go for it. Fourth and one, you got to go for it. And then there was another time, right? Late. So two times.
Yeah, the one late in the game. There were two times. The one late in the game, I think, was all the data says that you got to go for it. And Kyle Shanahan's been one of the least aggressive go for it on fourth down coaches in the league. But they were playing very much the conservative with the lead. Don't, you know, play not to lose rather than play to win kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't always love that, but it worked out and they ended up winning. So
they tell you don't do that, right? It worked out. So I don't want to be someone that's complaining about a team, you know, well, hypothetically speaking, you know, but I always remember the Super Bowl and what it took to win that game for Kansas City, and it was them being aggressive, and they went for it multiple times on fourth down early in the game and was like, we're not taking three. We want seven. And, you know, I always think about, remember they lined up, then they did the thing where they all spun. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
They like yep. near the goal line. It was
fancy.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. They lined up, they spun, then they did something, then they got the first down. Ultimately, it resulted in a touchdown. And, you know, just a lot of the aggressive moves. And I mean, even just last year, looking at Kansas City, they had the lead. They were up by like 4 points. And then it's fourth and one. You don't even have Mahomes in the game. They had Chad Henne. Mahomes got knocked out the game. And it's fourth and one or fourth and two at midfield. You're setting up a short field for Cleveland. And I'm pretty sure everything says don't punt here. And they said, no. I mean, everything says punt. We're not punting it. We're going for it on fourth down. They threw the out route to Tyreek Hill. First down, ball game. And, you know, you just see some of those things, those aggressive moves that result in a win. And I thought Kyle kind of, you know, he's a front runner when it comes to fourth down calls, right? We've seen that
yeah,
this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When at times when if it's tight or, you know, like, I'm not going for it on fourth down, except for the Cardinals game. They went for it every time on fourth down. But typically it's tight. Oh, no, I'm not going to go for it on fourth down. And then they get a lead. All of a sudden it's like, yeah, let's go for it on fourth down. Then they pick it up. I don't know. A little front runner when it comes to that.
Right.
Kyle Shanahan talked about the struggle, and I think it ties into all of these things and all the ups and downs that we go through watching these games and all the ups and downs the team has gone through. And Kyle had a quote Tuesday talking to the media saying, I feel like the struggle is what made us who we are. And there's something to that. I feel like the 49ers have been through a lot, and they're sort of battle tested of all the teams that are in the playoffs right now. And as far as their record in the second half of the season, they've been as good as any of these teams. They had a better record since week 8 or whatever it was than the Cowboys. And they were a better team than the Cowboys from start to finish on Sunday. So can they beat those Packers? And by the way, how far back are the Packers in the hated? Because, you know, if it wasn't the Packers, I mean, if it wasn't the Cowboys, it was the Packers in the 90s, the 49ers fans hated, right?
Yeah, they're in the top three.
Our Packers. Oh, my God.
Oh, of course you did.
Yeah.
How upset are the Packers? I mean, I still see them talk about that Jerry Rice fumble, you know?
Yeah. Right before the catch too. Yeah.
I mean, he fumbled.
No instant replay.
They didn't have replay then.
Yeah, he fumbled. He did.
How did they miss it? I mean, obviously, I don't remember it in the moment. I remember the fumble in the moment, but not making a big deal out of it. You know, I was probably, I don't know, 12 years old, 13 years old. So I remember seeing it, but like, how did they miss that? Because when you see it right now, it's like he blatantly fumbled. Like he wasn't even close to being down.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where maybe he got that superstar call, you know, because he's Jerry Rice.
Yeah, maybe just bad angle and he played it off well or something for the ref.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, oh, Jerry Rice would never fumble.
The replay was like, oh, wow, he absolutely fumbled. the rest of the injury report real quick from practice. I think the 49ers had a little walkthrough or something on Tuesday, but they'll actually get to practicing Wednesday. And Jimmy Garoppolo, despite the reports that came out from, I don't want to name the source because I don't think it's a great source, but there was a tweet from someone who's got a blue check mark on Twitter, radio guy, I think, and he said that he got a text and texted somebody in San Francisco and that Jimmy Garoppolo's shoulder is bad to the point where maybe won't play bad. And I kind of call BS on that report because Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be limited at practice, according to Kyle Shanahan. Now, we'll see if he's going to actually be practicing, but that's further along than he was when he played in week 18 versus the Rams with his thumb, you know, being able to practice on Wednesday to start the week. So I'm not buying that report. We'll see. Maybe he ends up not practicing, but according to Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy Garoppolo will be limited in practice on Wednesday as he was last week with his thumb and shoulder injuries. Elijah Mitchell, Marcel Harris, Dre Greenlaw, Ambry Thomas has just a bone bruise. I've never had a bone bruise, so I can't tell you if that's a major or minor injury, but it doesn't sound like something that's too nice. And Aziz Alshadi will all be limited at practice. And Nick Bosa is still in the concussion protocol, will not practice. And oh yeah, Fred Warner, it looks like will be limited in practice. So that's a good sign. And Willis has an ankle injury, will not practice on Wednesday. So only Willis and Bosa won't be practicing. Do you have an experience with bone bruises, Croc?
No, contusions, but is that a bone bruise?
I have no idea.
So I've had a thigh contusion, I had a chest contusion, and it's supposed to be like a deep, deep bruise.
Okay.
So like I don't remember if it involves the bone or not, but I know it was extremely painful.
Anyway, Ambry Thomas has a bone bruise. Isn't it weird that all the Garoppolo injuries aren't reported during the game or after the game? They're reported like later the next week.
Like, oh, he played poorly in the second half. That's because he was hurt. It's like, why are we just hearing about this right now?
I don't know if it was the reason, but he definitely had a much worse second half than he had a first half, and he hurt his shoulder in the second quarter. So I don't know. Yeah.
Have you seen the stats on his like second halves in playoff games?
Yeah, they're not good. They're really bad. I don't remember him offhand, but.
No, I mean, he's only played 4 playoff games.
And two of those, he wasn't allowed to throw hardly at all against the Vikings.
Yeah, it's not good. It's like 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Like 4 picks. No, I think it's like 4. It's a lot.
Or, yeah, something like that.
It's
like,
something bad.
I did see those stats. 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Oof. I think it's a 60 or 70 quarterback rating, something like that.
Yeah. Not even quarterback rating, probably like passer rating, because QBR
or not is QBR, gonna be much lower. Rating, right, yeah,
passer
rating.
Yeah.
Yep. The big one is Bosa right now. Mm-hmm. Not allowed to practice, so we got to follow that. And we'll see if there's anything to that Jimmy Garoppolo injury, and definitely something to follow as the week goes along. All right, let's get
mentioned Bosa real quick. Can I stink on everybody calling him Joey Bosa? Like, what is that? And it was like repeatedly, and then they showed it like on the bar below too. It's like,
no way,
Bosa's right. Oh, yeah, the sideline reporting woman, I forget her name, she called him Joey Bosa the first time when he was out. And I was like, okay, she'll fix it the second time. No, on her next report, she called him Joey Bosa again. And then later in the game, they had a thing on the screen, and it said Jay Bosa. Just like, wow, what are you doing?
What in the world?
See, at the game, you missed that. I saw kind of the outrage going on social media, but I did not. Actually, you know,
it was bad.
I didn't notice it on the bottom third of the screen that they
You'll see a still. Oh man, it's so bad. Yeah, and ESPN today called him Mike Shanahan. Like, come on, guys. What's going on?
Family affair with the San Francisco 49ers. D'Amico Ryans. I had a feeling he'd be getting one of those head coach interviews. We'll talk about that next to get into the Locked On 49ers mailbag. One thing that helped me out this weekend when I was on the slopes, I had a Built Bar in my jacket. If you have a New Year's resolution, it's getting a difficult to keep going with that New Year's resolution in the food and snack department. You got to make Built Bar a part of your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. And if you're hungry, it will knock that hunger out, get you to your next meal. Maybe if you're trying to skip a meal, whatever it is, those 17 grams of protein will keep you satisfied and you can feel good about it because it's a delicious treat that is also healthy. And you know, a lot of times you want to eat healthy and then it gets so boring. And by week 3 of your new diet, you're thinking, nah, this is just not going to cut it. Where's the chocolate? How about that? Built Bar is covered in 100% real chocolate. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. Most Built Bars have only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 net grams of net carbs with those 17 grams of protein and the 100% enveloped chocolate. So go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 if you're not sure what flavor of Built Bar you want. All the great classic flavors, I recommend the peanut butter flavors. But there's always some new flavors and limited time flavors going up all the time at Built.com. Or you can get a mixed box of Built Bars. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. D'Amico Ryans has an interview scheduled. I think all of these first round of coach and GM interviews are virtual and Zoom calls. So D'Amico Ryans, at some point, I think it's Wednesday, right? He's going to have that that interview with the Minnesota Vikings for their vacant head coach job. And after last week's performance with the 49ers defense in the playoffs, I just thought it was a matter of time. He hadn't had any interview requests yet, but I think he's going to get some. I don't know if he gets hired in this round, but I will say he seems like the type of guy, and Croc, I don't know if you agree with me, he seems like the type of guy that's going to knock interviews out of the park. And all it takes is one interview, and all of a sudden, oh, man, they love him, and he's gone. That's it.
Yep. You know, I'm pretty sure he's thinking all I have to do is sit in front of someone and they'll end up liking me. He's going to come off as someone that is, you know, extremely intelligent, smart. You know, he looks like a head coach. You know, just has that look. Like when you look at
the demeanor.
McDaniels.
Yep. I've been saying that. McDaniels.
McDaniels, he doesn't look like a head coach. You know, he just looks like, I don't know.
Like somebody's brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who let this guy in?
but he's very intelligent, obviously, and I've seen other people tweet out that McDaniel is like one of the brightest offensive minds. So maybe people kind of look past this scrawny frame.
You know who McDaniel reminds me of? Remember Mark Trestman, the old head coach?
Yeah.
This offensive genius guy, but he kind of looked nerdy. And awkward. He was nerdy in a different way that Mike McDaniel does. But Mike McDaniel comes off as like the smart guy nerd. He went to an Ivy League school, that kind of thing. And Mark Trestman kind of had that, where he was like this. He wasn't like a motivator of men. And he got a head coach job and just kind of didn't work. He was more of an offensive coordinator. I get that vibe from Mike McDaniel. And it's funny because Kyle Shanahan in the press conference Tuesday said about Mike McDaniel that he was an acquired taste. He was kind of talking about his sense of humor. But that's kind of true. Like I would definitely see D'Amico Ryans knocking an interview out of a park for a head coach job more so than Mike McDaniel.
Have you seen Mike McDaniel, like, you know, just some of his like quotes and stuff?
Funny.
From he's like, that is a good question. Like, you know, he's
I don't know if he's a leader, but he's definitely like somebody you want in your clubhouse, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you want him part of your team, but to be the guy in charge, he just doesn't strike me as that type of guy. Who knows? Maybe he'll develop into that. Maybe he is that. He's because he's a smart guy and you want smart people as part of your football team.
I just saw a video of him on the whole QB collective thing, and he was talking about like their run game and what they emphasize. And it's him putting on the meeting in front of, like, it looks like, you know, a bunch of other coaches. And he speaks like a coach for sure. Kind of. I mean, there is kind of this like kind of a little like socially awkwardness kind of to it. But, you know, the language that he uses, you know, he's cussing like, you know, he speaks like Kyle Shanahan, but just in a little brother body.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely. But you know what's interesting? It's not looking like, and maybe there's more reports that are going to come out, and maybe the Giants haven't finished deciding who their finalists are for their GM job, but both Rand Carthon and Adam Peters interviewed with the New York Giants. I believe their titles with the 49ers are director of player personnel and director of pro personnel. Or is that what their old titles were and they got bumped? Anyway, I always get it wrong. But
Peters is assistant to GM, right?
He's assistant GM, and okay, that's what happened. Rand Carthon went from pro personnel to player personnel, which means instead of just overseeing the pro scouting department, they're overseeing the pro and draft scouting department. So both parts of player acquisition. So, but neither of them have been named in the second round of finalists for the New York Giants. There's a couple of finalists they've had so far, and those two names have not jumped out there. So maybe the 49ers won't get poached from the front office, but now D'Amico Ryan's getting an interview, so maybe it'll be D'Amico instead of those guys that ends up getting poached from the 49ers. So we'll keep you all abreast of those things with 49ers coaches and front office people getting interviews around the league. And the further the 49ers go, the more people are going to want, like, Kyle Shanahan, if he wasn't offensive coordinator for a Super Bowl team, would even be head coach of the 49ers right now. You know, going deep into the playoffs gets a lot of attention. And
yeah, no, they knew him before that. Wasn't it like they knew before the Super Bowl? They already knew that was the 49ers.
It was before the Super Bowl, but it was because they had such an amazing offense and they were rolling. And I think it was, you know, late January where you started to realize the 49ers were waiting for Shanahan to be done, but I don't think it was necessarily as much of a slam dunk just based on the regular season, but I could be wrong.
I feel like there was a lot of hype the year before too with Kyle Shanahan because what he had done with Matt Ryan and the turnaround and everything like that. But
it was, I think so, but that one year was so ridiculous offensively.
Yeah,
it was just like far and away the best offense in the league, and of course he's a Shanahan, and so I think all that, it makes that even easier. Where are we at here?
He looks a lot different now.
Kyle?
So gray.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, looks like he's aged 15 years.
Yeah, he has aged a lot. He looks so young. If you look at like his initial like hired photo, he looks like a different man. And it's like, dude, it's only been 5 years, man.
His baby face one before the beard, like when he was offensive coordinator with the Falcons from then till now is crazy. Yeah, I mean, it's been 5 years. It's been a while. And there's been the whole pandemic, and I feel like I've aged way more than 2 years over the course of the last 2 years. I'm starting to get a lot more gray too, and that's it comes.
But how much do you age from like 37 to 41? I feel like you don't age a whole lot in that time.
It depends on what you're doing. For me, it was kids, and I aged a lot.
Yeah,
oh, okay. Years.
And I can only imagine the stress that comes with being a head coach in the NFL.
Yeah, it's the stress and the lack of sleep and the odd hours. Yeah. I'm sure that has a lot to do with it, too.
Real quick, did you guys see the video? Debo was mic'd up. Did you see when he was calling for the ball after the interception with Kyle?
Yeah, so I heard about it, and Kyle talked about it, and Debo talked about it in the press conference. Yeah. But to see the actual video and audio of it, yeah, that was pretty.
Where he's like, hey, Kyle, let's go.
Yeah, he looked at me and was like, Kyle, first of all, he was like, okay, you call your coach Kyle. Like, it's not like, hey, Coach Kyle. It was like,
Kyle.
He's like, hey, let's go. And then he gets in the huddle. He's telling everybody, hey, we're going to put this in the box right now. Put it in the box right now. And he takes it. Boom. Touchdown. He was like, I told you. And Kyle was like,
you hear Kyle? Yeah. Thanks for telling me. That's the best.
It makes it a lot easier as a play caller, right?
Yeah, right.
Special player.
Yeah. Oh,
Debo. Yeah. Special. I had my son was running around the house yelling, Debo. That's a
I think it's safe to get a Debo jersey. I don't buy jerseys.
I think so.
But I think it's safe to get a Debo jersey. I was kind of scared the whole Buckner thing kind of just, I'm not buying no jerseys, but I think it's time.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things where, you buy things to remember times in your life, right? And like Debo's been so special this season that even if something happens and he's not the player he is next year, like you'll always remember, you know, the 2021 season when Debo just became, you know, what are they calling him now? A wide back?
Wide back. Wide back.
Yeah. It's incredible what he's doing. It's really fun. His acceleration is just his vision on the field too. His cutting. It's so much fun to watch.
It's awesome. He's worth the price of admission every week. And he's seeing the ball a lot as long as the 49ers are in the playoffs. What about the odds for the 49ers to make the Super Bowl? At betonline.ag, after wild card weekend, the odds are out for teams to make the Super Bowl of the 8 remaining squads in the divisional round of playoffs. The 49ers, the biggest underdogs to make the Super Bowl at plus 1,400. So $100 gets you 1,400 if the 49ers win the Super Bowl. You can find those odds. Green Bay Packers, by the way, are number one at plus 350. So this would be quite an upset as far as the odds makers go if the 49ers do beat the Packers on Saturday. And you can find all of those odds, the best lines and props at betonline.ag, that remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year, new updated desktop and mobile website that you can sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to get started. Not only football, there's basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, your favorite Vegas casino games, poker, blackjack. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2022 season. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts. The 49ers line with the Packers this week is moving in the Packers' favor too. It went from 5.5 to 6 points. I wonder if people are taking that report to heart that Jimmy Garoppolo might not play, according to Kyle Shanahan. Trey Lance, his job is to be Aaron Rodgers in practice, and he's got to let it rip. And there was a report today from Matt Barrows saying that maybe on the scout team earlier on in the season, Trey Lance was a little bit more timid, and he's been a lot he's been a lot more aggressive later in the season. I think Fred Warner talked about that a couple of weeks ago too, and they need him to be very aggressive in practice this week and throw it all over to be Aaron Rodgers for the scout team in practice for the 49ers. We'll see how the quarterback things go there. I want to get to some of the listener questions here. And to the point, we talked a little bit about it earlier, about the Packers being one of the 49ers' rival. For a younger group of fans, probably the Packers are more of a rival than the Cowboys are for 49ers fans. Alexander says, is it safe to say the Green Bay Packers are the new rival team in the Shanahan era? We've played them 6 times in 4 years. That's almost as much as the 49ers have played some of their division opponents.
And, I mean, how many postseason matchups, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's been the bigger thing. So even I get the Shanahan era, but you go back to the Harbaugh era, they kept having to play Green Bay. I mean, how many times did they – why do we play Green Bay so much? Or why do the 49ers play Green Bay? I mean, the Harbaugh era, I felt like they played them – they literally played them like every year, including in the playoffs. And, you know, shout out to Kaepernick. He had a couple of big-time performances and back-to-back playoff games or, you know, years against them. Once at, you know, Levi Stadium, another time – in Lambeau Field, which was crazy. All those guys, remember Kaepernick went out there with the no sleeves on? Yep. Like, Yeah, that was, and then I believe the season after that they played them like week one, and Kaepernick went out there and threw for 400 yards and outdueled Aaron Rodgers again. Mm-hmm. Green Bay a lot, it seems like 49.
Yeah, you're Bay, not wrong.
Green Bay could not stay home on that that zone read with Kaepernick. The edge player just crashing down the running back every time, and Collins like, all right, I'm wide open. I'm going to take it.
Here we go,
scampering. The league kind of figured out some of those things. It was I think one of the big things that sticks with you is you have to have losses too. And I think the 49ers have lost to the Packers in the regular season, but 2019 beating them in the playoffs, they've had more wins than losses against the Packers recently. I bet the Packers are more fired up about the 49ers than the 49ers fans are about the Packers. But if you lose a playoff game all of a sudden, then it hurts more. Like the Cowboys are hurting right now, and they're probably really upset with 49ers and 49ers fans and hate them a little bit more. So I think to have a really good rivalry, it has to go back and forth. You have to have big wins and big losses, and that's when it really starts to weigh on the fan base.
Yeah, I think, you know, as a 49er fan, you look back to week three and you know, if you just look at the score, it doesn't tell the whole story. You know, the 49ers are such a different football team now than they were back then. You know, just a prime example. I mean, Elijah Mitchell doesn't get enough love. I say that every single week on this show because he's leading, you know, the NFL in the playoffs for rushing right now. The dude's a rookie. You know, he didn't even play. I think he was hurt. He didn't play, right? Because Trey Sermon was the starter in week three. So they didn't even have, you know, their –
Here's the notes on it. We actually got tagged in it from our guy, Billium, Niners Billium, and it's in the Kosh tweet. And in the week three matchup, Elijah Mitchell didn't play at all. Debo Samuel had zero rushing yards. Arden Key rushed from the edge three times. Lenore and Josh Norman played corner, and Jawan Jennings didn't play a snap. So
yeah,
definitely
how different this team is.
Contribute, yeah.
Very different teams, and the Packers are going to be a very different team too if they get Jair Alexander back and they get Za'Darius Smith back to, you know, really.
Bakhtiari
on the defense. They got Bakhtiari back to the regular season. Yeah, so the Packers are getting as healthy as any team in the NFL. Had a bye week to rest everybody, including Aaron Rodgers' toe. So they're a better team probably too. So this is a much better matchup than it was in week three. I can't wait to see how this goes. And 5 degrees. I've seen maybe 3 degrees.
Oh, am I the only one that immediately went to my phone and added Green Bay to my weather app? Because now there's a 50% chance of snow on Saturday as well.
I was looking because I was going to go. And then I saw that, and I was like, then I started hearing about how they have the old school benches, the benches, like you're sitting at a high school football game.
The aluminum said, benches?
Nah. No.
That sounds miserable.
Yeah, that's that does not sound good.
But I also feel like that's something, at some point you have to experience it, whether it's cold, just say, hey, man, I went to Lambeau Field. I watched the 49ers play in a playoff game against Green Bay, and, man, it was freezing cold, and I remember – rushing back to the car to, you know, defrost my body. Like, I feel like that's a story that has to be told. So
I have one of those. It wasn't at Lambeau Field, but it was in Wisconsin. I saw Wisconsin Badgers against their rival Minnesota Golden Gophers college football game in the snow. And that was fun. That was really awesome. And we were freezing. And I luckily, smartly bought some gloves walking to the stadium. Somebody on the side of the road was selling gloves. So I've got some Badgers gloves somewhere. And I would have been dying if I didn't have those gloves during the game.
How layered up were you?
It was snow. Yeah. Not very. I was California layered. Yeah. Nice. Not waterproof clothes. I was unprepared for that, as were all my friends from California. And one of our buddies was going to college there in Wisconsin. So yeah, it was but it was awesome. It was a super fun experience. Going to a football game in the snow is really cool. Going to a playoff game in the snow would be pretty darn fun.
That sounds amazing. I don't know, there's something about, you know, when you wake up on Sunday morning and you turn on the games and like there's that one game that's in the snow and you're all warm in your house. Yeah. Like, there's something really comforting about that.
Being at a game live where it's snowing is the second best thing. The best thing is being in your living room on the couch while there's snow somewhere else.
With a blanket and like your coffee in your hand. Yeah.
Eating tamale pie.
Oh, man.
Right.
Don't get us started. A 20-minute conversation.
Yeah. At @Eric_Crocker, at Bay Area Wink. Let us know about your tamale pie recipes. We were talking about that off the air. I think that's going on in the Crocker household tonight, and we'll be going on in the Peacock household. I'm just learning about it. I didn't know about this tamale pie thing. So Winkler's all over it. I can't wait. I can't wait to throw that down. A couple more questions here. Actually, one of the questions I had was about that very thing about the difference in the two teams. And I think that's you really cannot. The 49ers were so different in week three. Like that was almost a different entire year. Yeah. I don't think you can take anything away from what happened in week three with the 49ers.
They were undefeated going into it.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
So this is from Big O, a.k.a. Bruno Mars, Big O Swan on Twitter. He says, I'm just saying, the Giants in 2007 beat the Bucks, Cowboys, and Packers en route to a Super Bowl. 49ers mirroring them a bit. Jimmy reminds me of Eli. The D-line is so similar, and the story's similar. We'll see. I like that. And that was the, I think the Jimmy and Eli thing is pretty good. But that Giants team, they won on the power of their defensive line. That I think they called it the NASCAR package or the race car package with, you know, four defensive ends on the field at the same time. And I think that does sort of mimic what the 49ers are doing right now. And it's pretty amazing. Yeah, Packers, Cowboys, and Bucks. And if the 49ers go through two rival teams that they've faced so many times in their history, like the Cowboys and the Packers on the road, and then Jimmy versus Tom Brady, the ex New England Patriots quarterback, like the storylines are amazing right there. Yeah, and if 49ers make that run as road warriors all throughout the playoffs and make it to the Super Bowl to play a home game at SoFi Stadium, I mean, that would be unreal. That would be an all-time run through the playoffs.
You mentioned Brady. Yeah, it could be the Rams, you know, in the NFC Championship game with a home game at SoFi Stadium.
Back-to-back home games at SoFi in the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl.
We referenced not that Giants team, but I think it was like, 2009 or whatever that team was. The one that beat the undefeated Patriots.
The other one, yeah.
Yeah, we referenced that team because they were a team that at one point lost four straight games in the season. They kind of backed into the playoffs and ended up winning it all. And, you know, we talked about that. It you got to just win at the right time and get things to click at the right time. And when you look at the 49ers, there's a lot of hype behind them right now going on in the media, and I think deservedly so just because of the way that they are able to win. You know, I look at this game, and it's in the snow. We'll get into more of this on the crossover episode with Peter. But, you know, the 49ers are kind of built to play this brand of football. The Harbaugh teams were, you know, in that type of cold weather. I don't think people were too much worried about the 49ers California team having to go to Wisconsin because of the style and brand of football that they played. I think this team – it's pretty much built the same way. There's nothing finesse. I got asked about this from some Cowboy people. You know, they asked, like, what is it to that whole, you know, are the 49ers bullies or just are they more physical or are all teams physical? And I'm like, no, like, some teams kind of build their team based on that. Yeah, everybody is kind of a tough guy in the NFL. But there are some teams that play a more – physical style of football, and that's what the 49ers have built their whole brand around. Like, it's smash mouth, in your face football. We're going to wear you down that way. We're going to run the ball. We don't even care if you know it's coming. We're going to toss to Deebo Samuel. We have guys that, you know, epitomize that, right? Guys like George Kittle, he's screaming as he's blocking guys and pancaking them to the ground. Yeah. You know, the defense, I mean, they really kind of built that, their whole identity around that. So it's different. Yeah, the Cowboys got some tough guys, but the 49ers are a tough team. And it's a little different. And I like their chances going out there to the snow and still being able to play that brand of football.
And for sure, the 49ers are the last team anyone wants to face right now. And we'll ask Peter about that tomorrow. Peter Bukowski will be joining Croc and I on another Thursday crossover episode. Wink, appreciate you, man. Thanks for jumping on once again with us here on this Wednesday, this Winky Wednesday.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys.
And thanks, everybody, for making us your first listen. For your second listen, check out Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all the gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms, as is this show, as is Locked On NFL Draft, featuring Eric Crocker, as is the Peacock and Williamson NFL show, featuring myself and former NFL scout Matt Williamson, daily right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Crossover time tomorrow. Talk to you then, right here, Locked On 49ers.
See ya.